10 orders. We were loved once. Why have you forsaken us, Almighty? Shard of my soul, where have you gone?
Collected on the second day of Kakash, year 1171, 5 seconds before death. Subject was a light-eyed woman in her third decade.
Kaladin's stomach growled as he reached through the bars and accepted the bowl of slop. He pulled the small bowl, more a cup, between the bars, then grimaced as the caged wagon began to roll again. The sludgy gray slop was made from overcooked tallow grain, and this batch was flecked with crusted bits of yesterday's meal. Revolting though it was all he would get. He began to eat, legs hanging out between the bars, watching the scenery pass. The other slaves in his cage clutched their bowls protectively, afraid that someone might steal from them. One of them tried to steal Kaladin's food on the first day. He nearly broke the man's arm. Now, everyone left him alone. Suited him just fine. He ate with his fingers, careless of the dirt. He'd stopped noticing dirt months ago. He hated that he felt some of that same paranoia that the others showed. How could he not? After 8 months of beatings, deprivation, and brutality. He fought down the paranoia. He wouldn't become like them. Even if he'd given up everything else, even if all had been taken from him, even if there was no longer hope of escape, this one thing he would retain. He was a slave, but he didn't need to think like one. He finished the slop quickly. There were 10 slaves in the wagon, all men, scraggly bearded and dirty. It was one of 3 wagons in their caravan through the unclaimed hills. The sun blazed reddish-white on the horizon, like the hottest part of a smith's fire. It lit the framing clouds with a spray of color, paint thrown carelessly on a canvas. Covered in tall, monotonously green grass, the hills seemed endless. On a nearby mound, a small figure flitted around the plants, dancing like a fluttering insect. The figure was amorphous, vaguely translucent. Windspren were devious spirits who had a penchant for staying where they weren't wanted. He'd hoped that this one had gotten bored and left, but as Kaladin tried to toss his wooden bowl aside, he found that it stuck to his fingers. The windspren zipped by, nothing more than a ribbon of light without form. Kaladin tugged on the bowl. Windspren often played pranks like that. He pried at the bowl, and it eventually came free. He tossed it to one of the other slaves. The man quickly began to lick at the remnants of the slop.
Hey!
Kaladin looked to the side. A slave with dark skin and matted hair was crawling up to him, timid, as if expecting Kaladin to be angry.
You're not like the others.
The slave's black eyes glanced upward toward Kaladin's forehead, which bore 3 brands. The first 2 made a glyph pair, given to him 8 months ago on his last day in Amaram's army. The 3rd was fresh, given to him by his most recent master, Shash. The last glyph read, dangerous. The slave had his hand hidden behind his rags.
A knife?
No, that was ridiculous. None of these slaves could have hidden a weapon. The leaves hidden in Kaladin's belt were as close as one could get. But old instincts could not be banished easily, so Kaladin watched that hand.
I heard the guards talking.
The slave shuffled a little closer. He had a twitch that made him blink too frequently.
You tried to escape before, they said. You have escaped before. Look.
The slave moved his hand out from behind his rags and revealed his bowl of slop. It was half full.
Take me with you next time. I'll give you this, half my food from now on until we get away. Please.
As he spoke, he attracted a few hunger spren. They looked like brown flies that flitted around the man's head, almost too small to see. Kaladin turned away, looking out at the endless hills and their shifting, moving grasses. He rested one arm across the bars and placed his head against it, legs still hanging out.
Well?
You're an idiot. If you gave me half your food, you'd be too weak to escape if I were to flee. Which I won't. It doesn't work.
But
10 times. 10 escape attempts in 8 months. Fleeing from 5 different masters. And how many of them worked?
Well, I mean, you're still here.
8 months.
8 months as a slave. 8 months of slop and beatings. It might as well have been an eternity. He barely remembered the army anymore.
You can't hide as a slave. Not with that brand on your forehead. No, I got away a few times, but they always found me, and then back I went.
Once, men had called him lucky, storm-blessed. Those had been lies. If anything, Kaladin had bad luck. Soldiers were a superstitious sort, and though he'd initially resisted that way of thinking, it was growing harder and harder. Every person he had ever tried to protect had ended up dead, time and time again. And now, here he was, in an even worse situation than where he'd begun. It was better not to resist. This was his lot, and he was resigned to it. There was a certain power in that, a freedom. The freedom of not having to care. The slave eventually realized Kaladin wasn't going to say anything further, and so he retreated, eating his slop. The wagons continued to roll, fields of green extending in all directions. The area around the rattling wagons was bare, however. When they approached, the grass pulled away, each individual stalk withdrawing into a pinprick hole in the stone. After the wagons moved on, the grass timidly poked back out and stretched its blades toward the air. And so, the cages moved along what appeared to be an open rock highway, cleared just for them. This far into the unclaimed hills, the high storms were incredibly powerful. The plants had learned to survive. That's what you had to do. Learn to survive. Brace yourself. Weather the storm. Kaladin caught a whiff of another sweaty, unwashed body. He looked suspiciously to the side, expecting that same slave to be back. It was a different man this time, though. He had a long black beard stuck with bits of food and snarled with dirt. Kaladin kept his own beard shorter, allowing Tlakev's mercenaries to hack it down periodically. Like Kaladin, the slave wore the remains of a brown sack tied with a rag, and he was dark-eyed, of course. Perhaps a deep dark green, though with dark eyes it was hard to tell. They all looked brown or black unless you caught them in the right light. The newcomer cringed away, raising his hands. He had a rash on one hand, the skin just faintly discolored. He'd likely approached because he'd seen Kaladin respond to the other man. The slaves had been frightened of him since the first day, but they were also obviously curious. Kaladin turned away. The slave hesitantly sat down.
Mind if I ask how you became a slave, friend? Can't help wondering. We're all wondering.
Judging by the accent and the dark hair, the man was a Lethi, like Kaladin. Most of the slaves were. Kaladin didn't reply to the question.
Me? I stole a herd of Chull. If I'd taken one Chull, they might have just beaten me, but a whole herd. 17 head.
They were a sorry lot, even for slaves. Weak, sickly, underfed. Some, like Kaladin, were repeat runaways, though Kaladin was the only one with a Shash brand. They were the most worthless of a worthless caste, purchased at a steep discount. They were probably being taken for resale in a remote place where men were desperate for labor. There were plenty of small, independent cities along the coast of the unclaimed hills. Places where Voran rules governing the use of slaves were just a distant rumor. Coming this way was dangerous. These lands were ruled by nobody, and by cutting across open land and staying away from established trade routes, Tlakev could easily run afoul of unemployed mercenaries. Men who had no honor and no fear of slaughtering a slave master and his slaves in order to steal a few chulls and wagons. Men who had no honor. Were there men who had honor?
No. Honor died 8 months ago.
So what did you do to get made a slave?
How did you get caught?
Odd thing, that. It was a woman, of course. Should have known she'd sell me.
Shouldn't have stolen Chulls. Too slow. Horses would have been better.
horses. What do you think, me a madman? If I'd been caught stealing those, I'd have been hanged. Chulls, at least, only earned me a slave's brand.
Kaladin glanced to the side. This man's forehead brand was older than Kaladin's. The skin around the scar faded to white.
What is that glyph bear?
Sasmarome.
It was the High Lord's district where the man had originally been branded. The man looked up with shock.
Hey, you know glyphs? You must have an even better story than I thought, friend.
Kaladin stared out over those grasses blowing in the mild breeze. Whenever the wind picked up, the more sensitive of the grass stalks shrank down into their burrows, leaving the landscape patchy, like the coat of a sickly horse. That windspren was still there, moving between patches of grass. How long had it been following him? At least a couple of months now. That was downright odd. Maybe it was the same one. They were impossible to tell apart.
Well, why are you here?
There are many reasons why I'm here. Failures, crimes, betrayals. Probably the same for most every one of us.
Persistent coughing, accompanied by an excess of phlegm and fevered mumbling at night. Sounds like the grindings.
Well, perhaps I should ask a different question. Be more specific. That's what my mother always said. Say what you mean and ask for what you want. What's the story of you getting that first brand of yours?
I killed the Light Eyes.
I'm surprised they let you live.
Killing the Light Eyes and why I was made a slave. It's the one I didn't kill that's the problem.
How's that?
Kaladin shook his head, then stopped answering the talkative man's questions. The man eventually wandered to the front of the wagon's cage and sat down, staring at his bare feet. Hours later, Kaladin still sat in his place, idly fingering the glyphs on his forehead. This was his life, day in and day out, riding in these cursed wagons. His first brands had healed long ago, but the skin around the Shash brand was red, irritated, and crusted with scabs. It throbbed, almost like a second heart. It hurt even worse than the burn had when he grabbed the heated handle of a cooking pot as a child. Lessons drilled into Kaladin by his father whispered in the back of his brain, giving the proper way to care for a burn.
Apply a salve to prevent infection. Wash once daily.
Those memories weren't a comfort. They were an annoyance. He didn't have a four-leaf sap or Lister's oil. He didn't even have water for the washing. The parts of the wound that had scabbed over pulled at his skin, making his forehead feel tight. He could barely pass a few minutes without scrunching up his brow and irritating the wound. He'd grown accustomed to reaching up and wiping away the streaks of blood that trickled from the cracks. His right forearm was smeared with it. If he'd had a mirror, he could probably have spotted tiny red rotspren gathering around the wound. The sun set in the west, but the wagons kept rolling. Violet Salas peeked over the horizon to the east, seeming hesitant at first, as if making sure the sun had vanished. It was a clear night, and the stars shivered high above. Taln's scar, a swath of deep red stars that stood out vibrantly from the twinkling white ones, was high in the sky this season. Once, Kaladin would have been quick to go help, but something within him had changed. So many people he'd tried to help were now dead. It seemed to him, irrationally, that the man would be better off without his interference. After failing Tien and Dalit and his team, then 10 successive groups of slaves, it was hard to find the will to try again. 2 hours passed, first moon. Tlakev finally called a halt. His two brutish mercenaries climbed from their places atop their wagons, then moved to build a small fire. Lanky Taran, the serving boy, tended the chulls. The large crustaceans were nearly as big as wagons themselves. They settled down, pulling into their shells for the night with clawfuls of grain. Soon, they were nothing more than 3 lumps in the darkness, barely distinguishable from boulders. Finally, Tlakev began checking on the slaves one at a time, giving each a ladle of water, making certain his investments were healthy. Or, at least, as healthy as could be expected for this lot. Tlakev started with the first wagon and Kaladin, still sitting, pushed his fingers into his makeshift belt, checking on the leaves he'd hidden there. The stiff, dried husks were rough against his skin. He still wasn't certain what he was going to do with them. He grabbed them on a whim during one of the sessions when he'd been allowed out of the wagon to stretch his legs. He doubted anyone else in the caravan knew how to recognize Blackbane. Narrow leaves on a trefoil prong. So it hadn't been too much of a risk. Absently, he took the leaves out and rubbed them between forefinger and palm. They had to dry before reaching their potency. Why did he carry them? Did he mean to give them to Tlakev and get revenge? Or were they a contingency to be retained in case things got too bad, too unbearable?
Surely I haven't fallen that far.
It was just more likely his instinct of securing a weapon when he saw one, no matter how unusual. The landscape was dark. Sala's was the smallest and dimmest of the moons, and while her violet coloring had inspired countless poets, she didn't do much to help you see your hand in front of your face.
Oh! What's that?
A translucent figure, just a handspan tall, peeked up from over the edge of the floor near Kaladin. She climbed up and into the wagon, as if scaling some high plateau. The windspren had taken the shape of a young woman. Larger spren could change shapes and sizes, with an angular face and long, flowing hair that faded into mist behind her head. She, Kaladin couldn't help but think of the windspren as a she, was formed of pale blues and whites, and wore a simple, flowing white dress of a girlish cut that came down to mid-calf. Like the hair, it faded to mist at the very bottom. Her feet, hands, and face were crisply distinct, and she had the hips and bust of a slender woman. Kaladin frowned at the spirit. Spren were all around. He just ignored them most of the time. But this one was an oddity. The windspren walked upward, as if climbing an invisible staircase. She reached a height where she could stare at Kaladin's hand, so he closed his fingers around the black leaves. She walked around his fist in a circle. Although she glowed like an afterimage from looking at the sun, her form provided no real illumination. She bent down, looking at his hand from different angles, like a child expecting to find a hidden piece of candy.
What is it? You can show me. I won't tell anyone. Is it a treasure? Have you cut off a piece of the knight's cloak and tucked it away? Is it the heart of a beetle, so tiny yet powerful?
He said nothing, causing the spren to pout. She floated up, hovering, though she had no wings, and looked him in the eyes.
Kaladin, why must you ignore me?
What did you say?
She smiled mischievously, then sprang away, her figure blurring into a long white ribbon of blue-white light. She shot between the bars, twisting and warping in the air, like a strip of cloth caught in the wind, and darted beneath the wagon.
Storm you!
Kaladin leaped to his feet.
Spirit, what did you say? Repeat that!
Spren didn't use people's names. Spren weren't intelligent. The larger ones, like Windspren or Riverspren, could mimic voices and expressions, but they didn't actually think. They didn't.
Did any of you hear that?
Kaladin turned to the cage's other occupants. The roof was just high enough to let Kaladin stand. The others were lying back, waiting to get their ladle of water. He got no response. Even Kaladin's friend from earlier ignored him. The man had fallen into a stupor, staring at his feet, wiggling his toes periodically. Maybe they hadn't seen the spren. Many of the larger ones were invisible except to the person they were tormenting. Kaladin sat back down on the floor of the wagon, hanging his legs outside. The windspren had said his name, but undoubtedly she just repeated what she'd heard before.
But none of the men in this cage know my name. Maybe I'm going mad. Seeing things that aren't there, hearing voices.
He opened his hand. His grip had cracked and broken the leaves. He'd need to tuck them away to prevent further...
Those leaves look interesting. You like them a lot, don't you?
Kaladin jumped, twisting to the side. The windspren stood in the air just beside his head, white dress rippling in a wind Kaladin couldn't feel.
How do you know my name?
The windspren didn't answer. She walked on air over to the bars, then poked her head out, watching Tlakev the slaver administer drinks to the last few slaves in the first wagon. She looked back at Kaladin.
Why don't you fight? You did before. Now you've stopped.
Why do you care, Spirit?
I don't know, but I do. Isn't that odd?
It is more than odd.
What did he make of a Spren that not only used his name, but seemed to remember things he had done weeks ago?
People don't eat leaves, you know, Kaladin. Or do you? I can't remember. You're so strange, stuffing some things into your mouths, leaking out other things when you don't think anyone is looking.
How do you know my name?
How do you know it?
I know it because it's mine. My parents told it to me. I don't know.
Well, I don't either.
Fine. But why are you using my name?
Because it's polite, and you are impolite.
Spren don't know what that means.
See, there. Impolite.
Kaladin blinked. Well, he was far from where he'd grown up, walking foreign stone and eating foreign food. Perhaps the Spren who lived here were different from those back home.
So, why don't you fight?
I can't fight.
You did before.
I'm so tired.
He didn't mean the physical fatigue, though 8 months eating leftovers had stolen much of the lean strength he'd cultivated while at war. He felt tired. Even when he got enough sleep, even on those rare days when he wasn't hungry, cold, or stiff from a beating.
So tired.
You have been tired before.
I failed, Spirit. Must you torment me so?
They were all dead. Sen and Dalit, and before that, Tux and the Takers. Before that, Tien. Before that, blood on his hands and the corpse of a young girl with pale skin. Some of the slaves looked at him oddly, likely thinking he was mad. Anyone could end up drawing a Spren, but you learned early that talking to one was pointless.
Am I mad?
Perhaps he should wish for that.
Madness is an escape from the pain.
Instead, it terrified him. He opened his eyes. Tlakev was finally waddling up to Kaladin's wagon with his bucket of water. The portly, brown-eyed man walked with a very faint limp, the result of a broken leg, perhaps. He was Thalen, and all Thalen men had the same stark white beards, regardless of their age or the color of the hair on their heads, and white eyebrows. Those eyebrows grew very long, and the Thalen wore them pushed back over the ears. That made him appear to have two white streaks in his otherwise black hair. His clothing, striped trousers of black and red, with a dark blue sweater that matched the color of his knit cap, had once been fine, but it was now growing ragged. Had he once been something other than a slaver? This life, the casual buying and selling of human flesh, seemed to have an effect on men. It wearied the soul, even if it did fill one's money pouch. Tlakev kept his distance from Kaladin, carrying his oil lantern over to inspect the sick slave at the front of the cage. Tlakev signaled to his mercenaries, Bluth. Kaladin didn't know why he'd bothered to learn their names, wandered over. Tlakev spoke quietly, pointing at the slave. Bluth nodded, slab-like face shadowed in the lantern light, and pulled the cudgel free from his belt. The windspren took the form of a white ribbon, then zipped over toward the sick man. She spun and twisted a few times before landing on the floor, becoming a girl again. She leaned in to inspect the man, like a curious child. Kaladin turned away and closed his eyes. Inside his mind, his father's voice responded.
To cure the grinding coughs, administer 2 handfuls of blood ivy crushed to a powder each day. If you don't have that, be certain to give the patient plenty of liquids, preferably with sugar stirred in. As long as the patient stays hydrated, he will most likely survive. The disease sounds far worse than it is.
Most likely survive.
Someone unlatched the cage door. Would they know how to help the man?
Such an easy solution. Give him water and he will live. But it doesn't matter. Best not get involved.
Men dying on the battlefield. A youthful face so familiar and dear, looking to Kaladin for salvation. A sword wound, slicing open the side of a neck. A shard bear charged through Emerim's ranks. Blood, death, failure, pain.
Can you really leave him, son? Let him die when you could have helped?
Storm it.
Stop!
The other slave scrambled back. Bluth jumped up, slamming the cage door closed and holding up his cudgel. Klokhev shied behind the mercenary, using him as cover. Kaladin closed his hand around the leaves and then raised the other to his head, wiping away a smear of blood. He crossed the small cage. Bluth glared as Kaladin knelt beside the sick man. The flickering light illuminated a long, drawn face and nearly bloodless lips. Kaladin felt the man's neck for swelling, then checked his dark brown eyes.
It's called the grinding coughs. He will live if you give him an extra ladle of water every 2 hours for 5 days or so. You'll have to force it down his throat. Mix in sugar if you have any.
Bluth scratched at his ample chin, then glanced at the shorter slaver.
Pull him out!
The wounded slave awoke as Bluth unlocked the cage. The mercenary waved Kaladin back with his cudgel, and Kaladin reluctantly withdrew. After putting away his cudgel, Bluth grabbed the slave under the arms and dragged him out, all the while trying to keep a nervous eye on Kaladin. Kaladin's last failed escape attempt had involved 20 armed slaves. His master should have executed him for that, but he had claimed Kaladin was intriguing and branded him with Shash, then sold him for a pittance. There always seemed to be a reason Kaladin survived when those he'd tried to help died. Some men might have seen this as a blessing, but he saw it as an ironic kind of torment. He'd spent some time under his previous master speaking with a slave from the West, a Sile man who had spoken of the old magic from their legends and its ability to curse people. Could that be what was happening to Kaladin?
Don't be foolish.
The cage door snapped back in place, locking. The cages were necessary. Klokhev had to protect his fragile investment from the high storms. The cages had wooden sides that could be pulled up and locked into place during the furious gales. Bluth dragged the slave over to the fire, beside the unpacked water barrel. Kaladin felt himself relax.
There. Perhaps you can still help. Perhaps there's a reason to care.
Kaladin opened his hand and looked down at the crumbled black leaves in his palm.
I don't need these. Sneaking them into Tlakiv's drink would not only be difficult, but pointless. Do I really want that slaver dead? What would that accomplish?
Kaladin snapped his head up, looking to where Bluth had deposited the sick slave. The mercenary raised his cudgel one more time. The slave's corpse slumped over in the darkness. Bluth casually picked it up and slung it over his shoulder.
No!
Kaladin slammed his hands against the bars. Tlakhev stood warming himself by the fire.
Storm you! He could have lived, you bastard!
Tlakhev glanced at him. Then, leisurely, the slaver walked over, straightening his deep blue knit cap.
He would have gotten you all sick, you see? I will not lose an entire wagon for one man.
He's past the spreading stage. If any of us were going to catch it, we'd have done so by now.
Hope that you don't. I think he was past saving.
I told you otherwise.
And I should believe you, deserter. A man with eyes that smolder and hate. You would kill me. I care not. So long as you are strong when it is time for sales. You should bless me for saving you from that man's sickness.
I'll bless your cairn when I pile it up myself.
Keep that fury, deserter, and that strength. It will pay me well on our arrival.
Not if you don't live that long.
Tlakhev always warmed the last of the water from the bucket he used for the slaves. He'd make himself tea from it, hanging it over the fire. If Kaladin made sure he was watered last, then powdered the leaves and dropped them into the... Kaladin froze, then looked down at his hands. In his haste, he'd forgotten that he'd been holding the blackbane. He'd dropped the flakes as he slammed his hands against the bars. Only a few bits stuck to his palms. Not enough to be potent. He spun to look backward. The floor of the cage was dirty and covered with grime. If the flakes had fallen there, there was no way to collect them. The wind gathered suddenly, blowing dust, crumbs, and dirt out of the wagon and into the night.
Even in this, I fail.
He sank down, his back to the bars, and bowed his head, defeated. That cursed windspren kept darting around him, looking confused.